Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, August the 19th. Villagers impacted by water outages in a part of Kent have gathered thousands of plastic bottles to show the environmental impact it's having. Homes in and around Benenden have had low pressure or no water at all since last Thursday. Well, residents have now spelt out "Help us" on the local cricket ground. Lucy Barron-Reed runs the Bull pub in the village and she's been speaking to our reporter Ellie Hodgson.
We just thought we would ask all of the residents in the area to collect up their single-use plastic bottles, wastage, before it gets taken off by the poor recycling people who don't know what's going to, you know, they're going to have so much to take. But to ask them to bring it to the cricket square. And with the plastic bottles, we wrote "Help us!" exclamation mark with a huge great frame around it. We had a couple of our local residents that had drones and we took drone footage of it and we took photographs of it being shared on social media. And the whole point was just to say, come on, South East Water, you know, this has got to stop, but you've also got to start listening to us. You can't just keep sending different reasons daily as to why the water, I mean, while we totally appreciate that the unbelievable work the engineers are doing and how difficult it is for them, it's also they've got to start coming up with an answer. They can't just keep sticking plasters on it. So we wanted to show the environmental impact of not having mains water, the amount of plastic that was collected in less than 1 week, and just add some community spirit because everyone's exhausted. Let's not forget, we've just had, you know, what is it, 3-4 heat waves in a row. And two of those heat waves, we've not had any water.
Looking at those videos and pictures, they speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Anyway, as to the volume of plastic. What was it like seeing that?
It was horrible. It was awful. I mean, it was really, really frightening. I mean, when you've got children sort of pushing their leg through and sort of running around plastic bottles like they would do in the autumn in the Leeds. You know, the waste is incredible. I mean, one, where does that water come from? You know, which company is profiting from this? I mean, someone's doing really well. You know, what is the environmental impact of it being delivered across the country? You know, who, I presume, as South East Water customers, we are the ones that will pick up the bill. We're not given that choice. Is this their only action plan? Have they got another plan? You know, are they just going to keep willy-nilly dropping off water and just, you know, well, okay, it's a bit inconvenient. Sorry, but this is how it is now. You know, so yeah, so looking at it, it was. I think that was the whole point. To have a proper visual to see how scary it is.
Now, South East Water say that drinking supplies are critically low because of the long, dry summer we've had. At the time of recording today's podcast, 1,800 homes in the Benenden and Rolvenden areas were still experiencing low pressure or no water. As well as the low levels of water, there's also been a technical issue at a treatment works overnight. Meantime, a burst main in Bethersden is impacting hundreds of homes there.
Kent Online News.
A Canterbury man who admitted being abusive in all of his relationships has been jailed after a judge warned there was a real risk he'd go on to kill. Court was told Ellis Hosmer's violence started when he stabbed a 15-year-old girl in the thigh in 2016. The 25-year-old from the Hyde in Bolts Hill in Chartham was on licence from prison when he carried out the most recent attack on his girlfriend. He's been locked up for 4 years and will spend another 4 on licence. A businessman says he's been left on edge after masked intruders stole expensive sculptures from the garden of his home in Kent. The bronze deer statues were taken from the property in Horton Kirby near Dartford during a 16-minute raid at the end of July. David Noyes has told us about the moment he realised what had happened.
My daughter, I woke up to a text from her saying that the gate was swung open, and which is a gate that is really very rarely open at all. We don't really use the gate. So I really had a bad feeling then that something had happened. when I drove down in the morning, glancing everywhere because I knew something had been taken. I just had that funny feeling. And these were the deer that were taken. Then I stood there with the gardener and then looked at the footage backwards and saw three assailants who were absolutely disgustingly dressed from head to toe in black, balaclavas, gloves, and watched them for 10 minutes coming into the grounds, dig them up, move them further down to the garden and then load them up into a car and drive off. And now, putting it on Facebook, had an amazing response on Facebook with over a million hits, went viral. People were very, very nice. And I think personally, they were too hot to keep. And had a friend call me a couple of weeks later saying he thinks he saw them. Spoke to the police and the police were very generous in the way they went immediately to go and check them out. And within an hour, they were back where they were.
Police say a search for the suspects is continuing. Crews have been busy battling four separate wildfires in Kent. Grass and bushes caught alight on Fong Lane in Gravesend yesterday evening. A blaze also broke out at Moat Park in Maidstone, and there was a field fire in Eyewade near Sittingbourne. Elsewhere, pictures at Kent Online show straw bales that went up in flames in St Margaret's at Cliff near Dover. A Sheerness man who was jailed for torching a fence that spread to his neighbours' cars has been locked up again. Stephen Bowes was convicted of arson in May and has now been recalled to prison after breaching a criminal behaviour order. The 72-year-old from Seager Road has also been ordered to pay a victim surcharge and costs.
Kent Online reports.
Questions have been raised over the future of a huge border facility near Ashford after the government announced customs checks will move elsewhere next year. The Sevington site opened in 2021 to carry out assessments on goods going in and out of the UK following Brexit. That'll now be done at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel from early 2027. The government says other facilities at Sevington will remain operational until further notice. Hospital staff in part of Kent are being offered the chance to resign in exchange for a one-off payment as bosses start to look at changes for the government's 10-year health plan. Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells is the latest NHS trust to run a mutually agreed resignation scheme. We're told every application will be assessed individually. An agency in Maidstone that provides care in supported accommodation has been placed in special measures after people were found in unsafe and undignified circumstances. Kent PBS service was visited by the watchdog after concerns were raised. Inspectors say people weren't receiving the care they deserved and were at risk of harm or deteriorating health. Now, an action plan's being put together in Maidstone with £250,000 worth of funding to tackle violence against women and girls. Residents have been putting forward ideas, including better education, youth clubs, bystander training and more female leadership. Bosses are promising to turn all of that into reality. And I've been speaking to council leader Stuart Jeffrey.
Certainly violence against women and girls is at epidemic levels. And particularly, you know, with the rise of the sort of Andrew Tate characters, you know, we can see it getting potentially far worse. So anything we can do as a council to reverse that trend is really important. So we've got a plan we've worked up around delivering these eight recommendations, and hopefully that will help to turn things around.
So could you talk me through some in particular? You don't have to go through all 80 if you don't want to, but some of the perhaps the main ones that people will see or get the chance to be involved in.
The council isn't going to be delivering these on its own. So it's about working with other agencies, education, police, and so forth, and health service, other public sector agencies. So working on lifelong learning, bringing in advocacy for people, so that we've got voices that are saying that's a problem, can you tackle that issue, making spaces safer for women, improving things like youth spaces both for boys and girls, so that they become more shared and social spaces but safe with it, and including sort of youth clubs, and taking action on things like poverty and the cycles of abuse. So the council gets involved with its community protection team, for example. We've had violence against women and girls as our sort of core theme for the last year or so, that we want to tackle both with the police and with the community protection team. So really doubling down on that piece of work, particularly with its links with poverty and abuse.
You mentioned there the youth facilities. Was it really important for you to hear from young people in particular about how this issue affects them and what they think can be done to tackle it?
Yeah, so we had two groups of young people aged 16 to 18, and their voices were particularly important. I was personally really interested in what the men had to say. I attended one of the sessions as an observer, and I felt it really interesting because it is men that commit the violence. So really interesting to see them start to think about why that violence has happened, and tackling it at the source, understanding why men commit this violence is really important, and getting the voices of those young men in particular, particularly as I say, because of the influence of those rather nasty people on social media, I think it was really important to hear those voices.
What do you think other areas can learn from what you're doing? Because you seem to be putting an awful lot of focus on this, but it's not just an issue in Maidstone. It's an issue everywhere. What could other authorities learn from Maidstone, do you
We
think?
think we might be the only local council to have done this piece of work, and we've been working with the Home Office to make sure that our findings get shared more widely. So we are very keen to share what we've learnt with councils across the country, and if they've got similar experiences or different ideas, we want to hear too, because no one person has all the right answers.
Kent Online reports.
Plans have been revealed to convert a former village charity shop and dementia facility in Kent into social housing or older people. Everest Court on Station Road in Liminge previously hosted an Age UK charity shop, a dementia care service and a cafe. The building is owned by the local council, who've put in for planning permission. A decision should be made before the end of September. A sports club's been left with a £4,000 repair bill after windows of their clubhouse were reportedly smashed with catapults. Ashford Hockey Club's building on Bull Lane was targeted in the early hours of Monday. Jeremy Patterson is the club's secretary.
It appears some vandals have catapulted all eight of our double glazed windows to our clubhouse. All eight are, as you can see, broken beyond repair and will need replacing. It's just so frustrating that we have so many fantastic volunteers at this club, like all other sports and community clubs around Ashford and beyond. We're all volunteers. We all do it because the club gives us so much back. And to have outsiders come and wantonly destroy part of our clubhouse, it beggars belief.
Well, police are investigating, and more than £6,000 has been donated to cover the cost of renovations in less than 24 hours. Traders in Sandwich are calling for compensation after main routes into the town were cut off. The toll bridge has been closed for the past 11 days after it was damaged by a Southern Water tanker, while the A256 was closed for emergency sewer repairs. Well, business owners say it's turned the area into a ghost town. Reporter Louis Walker has been there.
The toll bridge has been closed to vehicles since August 8th, when the Southern Water tanker collided with it, causing serious damage and structural concerns. Although open to foot traffic and cyclists, concrete barriers have since been installed on the historic bridge, amid fears drivers ignoring the closure could damage it further. Investigations are underway on the bridge, with a current permit in place until Friday, but it's feared it could be shut for another 2 months while works take place. It comes as last week it was announced the southbound carriageway of the A256 Ramsgate Road will be shut, leaving motorists facing a 31-mile diversion. Business owners have said the difficulty of getting to Sandwich left many not wanting to visit, turning it into a ghost town. They fear it's killed their town and are worried for the winter due to being unable to add earnings in their peak season. General Manager of the Fleur de Lys, Samantha Patterson, said the closures have isolated Sandwich and made a huge difference to their trade. The pub reopened in April, but she added customers have called up on previous weekends to say they wouldn't be coming after sitting in an hour of traffic.
Southern Water has apologised for the disruption. Kent County Council were unable to say how long repairs to the toll bridge will take. Kent Olympian Dame Kelly Holmes has appeared in a new video calling for more support for LGBTQ plus young people. The track athlete who lives near Tunbridge has joined other celebrities, including Danny Minogue and Sir Stephen Fry. It's part of a campaign by the Proud Trust to improve safety and understanding. Bosses have revealed Herne Bay Pier is on course to have its busiest summer in years. It's thought more than 100,000 people would have visited the attraction during the 6 weeks of the school holidays, as compared to around 80,000 who visited over the same time back in 2018. And the opening date's been revealed for a new spa at a leisure centre in North Kent. £480,000 has been spent on the facility at the White Oak site in Swanley. It'll include infrared saunas, steam rooms and cold plunge pools. It's due to launch on September the 12th.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and former Kent player Jordan Cox is in the England side for the first test against Pakistan. The 25-year-old, who was born in Margate, has been told he'll bat at number three. Play is taking place at Headingley. On to football, and Gillingham have lost their opening group game in the Premier League Under-21 Cup. They were beaten 4-1 by Huddersfield Town last night. And new pickleball courts have opened following a major refurb of a park in Tunbridge. More than £170,000 has been spent on upgrading facilities at the Racecourse Sports Ground. There's also a new mini golf course inspired by the landmarks and heritage of the town. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. And don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. You can also sign up to Kent Online Premium while you're there too. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.